All right, you're back in the DFSR, and we're here with our daily Major League Baseball podcast for Tuesday, September 6th. I am Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
And we are here to talk a little Tuesday action in baseball. We're from Daily Fantasy Sports Rankings, DFSR.com for short, where you can go get all the content you need to get yourself started for FanDuel and DraftKings. MLB season, I would say, kind of starting to wind down now, but NFL ramping up in earnest this week, obviously. If you head over now to DFSR.com/lab, L-A-B, you can grab a free trial that will take you through week one of NFL, and that includes our MLB projections, but also our NFL projections, and our brand new state-of-the-art player lab that helps you do a bunch of different queries and searches and filters for really all the criteria you would want to put together cash and GPP lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings NFL. Very exciting. So that's free from now through Sunday, and then it's $29.95 a month after that. That includes all of our subscriptions, MLB and NFL together. All right, buddy, full Tuesday slate of baseball coming. But before we do that, I need to analyze a dream I had two nights ago. Are you ready?
Yes.
And for those listeners, I have not told James about this at all. So I had a dream the other night, I think it was Saturday night, where Oswaldo and Orlando Arcia, who I'm not positive are brothers or not, but in my dream they were brothers, called me. Called DFSR, but I was the one that picked up the phone and wanted to talk about partnering with our website. But their major concern before they got into any long-term deal with us was that we had been too high on Alex Bregman all season long, and it was a concern to them. Tell me what that says about me, what it says about DFS. You can make any kind of comparisons that you need to do. You can go small, go big with that. Thoughts on that dream that I had?
Well, I think it's never a terrific sign when you start having fever dreams about your work. Mm-hmm. Also, by the way, your hypothetical Arcia brothers need to go for a walk. Bregman's been terrific recently, so they need to just take a chill pill for one quick second. I think it's you sometimes take it a little too personally, buddy, when things don't shake out. And I think that, like oftentimes people will get in the chat and say, why did you guys pick insert guy here, Alex Bregman? Why are you so high on him? Well, it's not that we are high on him. It's that math is high on him.
so you don't need
math to... likes a guy. Our system likes a guy. And sometimes, I think it's sometimes easier for me to not worry about people complaining about that stuff because I'm not in the chat as much as you are. But that's my take. That's my initial take on that.
Scale of one to worried. Where would you put me? Worry about that dream.
Worried for you? I don't think you're ready to crack yet. I'm gonna go 3.5.
There was another part of the dream where our office was in the middle of a field, and yet still the my wife and family and friends kept coming into the room, quote-unquote room, while I was on the phone, and I kept having to mute it, and I was getting really mad. So there was another level of frustration in the dream. So a couple different things going on there. Okay, all good. Right. I don't think I need to check myself in yet, but...
Daily Fantasy Psychology Ratings here. It's James Davis, and that's Doug Norrie.
All right, yeah. So full Tuesday slate of baseball. Let's get to it. Pitching-wise, we have a couple interesting pitching options going today. Coming off a weekend, a very, very weird, I would just call it weird weekend in baseball. Tons of runs went up. Really, it seemed like most pitchers got blown up. It was a crazy weekend. Not necessarily great for me, though I was able to salvage some of it on the late slate last night on Sunday. Where are you looking for pitching starting off today? Maybe the top tier cash gameplay, and then we can kind of go down through the tiers a little bit.
Today's a really weird day for pitching in general. And maybe it was because we did have a decent amount of aces go in this weekend, and they were kind of underwhelming in terms of their performance. And so I think a lot of people are entering the week a little bit gun shy. I guess for me, there's a big decision, as we often get, between a big money guy who's a little overpriced and then a cheaper guy who's a little bit more speculative. So the big money guy today is Corey Kluber. Kluber is sort of absurdly expensive on DraftKings, not nearly as bad on FanDuel. And there's a lot to like about Kluber, obviously. He's a guy we've talked about a number of times. He'll be extremely highly owned today just because he was a relatively popular play last time around and went out and put up 60 fantasy points on FanDuel. So on FanDuel, I would suspect people are just going to jam him home. K per inning guy, great control. The ERA has sort of matched the peripherals, been really consistent. So I think he'll be a very, very chalk standard play on FanDuel. When we get over to DraftKings, I think it gets really kind of crazy because – so let me start by saying the other guy we were thinking about was Jason Hamill today. Mm-hmm. Now, Hamill is a solid pitcher, if unspectacular. Kind of has had some bad recent results, which sees his price being depressed. Obviously, he's on the Cubs, so a win is more likely for him than a lot of guys on a given day. And he's not really a pitch count problem guy. But back-to-back terrible starts at Colorado, at the Dodgers, you know, are making a lot of people feel pretty concerned about him. I guess, like, for me, I'm not necessarily feeling concerned. At Colorado is the worst matchup you can get. And the Dodgers do have a lot of left-handed bats as well. So, you know, a bounce-back start against Pittsburgh, where he was quite good on, you know, a reasonable salary, leaves me feeling pretty bullish. All that being said, I'm not going to play him on FanDuel for 2,000 less. But on DraftKings, it gets really interesting because the spread goes from 2,000 to 5,000, and right. You get less salary in general on DraftKings. So that one is going to be one. I just know we're going to get questions like Jason Hamill, you know, in the chat there. So what are you thinking about?
Yeah, I think that the price thing is definitely a concern with Kluber on DraftKings. I'm with you there. They tend to do this with some of these ace guys, especially in recent when their performance recently has been good. And so I know that's something that DraftKings, or very much appears as if DraftKings corrects for that, for like recent performance, because you'll see some guys are like, why the hell is like Steven Wright like 12,000 or something like that? And you just look back in his last two games and he had the win, you know, or something like that.
Exactly.
So that is what's happened to Kluber here, because he's been pretty good in the short term. I just don't think you can do it, not with a game in Coors and some other teams with some higher money bats in good spots. So I think I'm all right there. I love the price on Hamill at 7,500. That's just a situation our system's just not going to get away from, and I don't think it should either. Milwaukee K's a ton. Ballpark isn't great for him, but that Brewers lineup is pretty rough, and they've been throwing out just like the Keon Broxtons of the world to hit near the top. So I'm just not really – I love the price on Hamill. I'm with you on the Kluber being expensive. One guy that our system is really kind of honing in also right now is Gio Gonzalez against the Braves. He's a big money line guy, minus 220 right now. Braves, we've seen that they will not K a ton, but they're also just not – there's not a ton to worry about in their lineup. You know, Freeman as the lefty bat is the clearly the guy to worry about. You know, Inciarte is lefty.
Less so because Gio's lefty.
Right, exactly. I mean, you know, they add Matt Kemp to the middle of it, so that's – I mean, Matt Kemp's not great, but he was an upgrade over what they did have in the beginning of the year. So
– used to be pretty good.
Yeah, at one point. So that is a guy at 9,300. The money line helps him. He's been decent in the short term. You know, getting out there and controlling the ball a little bit more, which is generally his problem. Like, walks have been his issue over the course of his career. That hasn't been so much of case in the short term. So, I don't know. What do you think about Gonzalez? Is that, like, could you roll him for cash game? I mean, 3,500 less than Kluber. So, it's not like an apples-to-apples comparison, necessarily.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think if you don't want to go Hamill and then someone cheaper than Hamill, that's quite a good option. And I understand if you don't want to go Hamill and someone cheaper than Hamill, just because it's going to give you a bellyache to do that. I think that's it. That's quite a good play. I like the thing you pointed out about the good hitters on the Braves being left-handed. Matt Kemp, I mean, the interesting thing about Kemp is that he's bad, right? And he's going to give you a lot of games where he just goes out there and strikes out a bunch and never walks and so on. But he does still have the insane isolated power of 217. So he can really put a bruising on you. That's, you know, comparable to his MVP caliber seasons. It's not quite up there, but he can still hit the ball a long way when he does make contact. So just be aware that kind of takes away some of that upside. You know, the fact that him, Freeman, Inciarte to a lesser degree can still do some, like if they do hit it, it can go a long way. But yeah, no, I think that's a fine cash game.
Like play. That's not a terrible top of your order. It's not good, and you're not going to the playoffs with that kind of order. But you're not total basement level of offense with those guys near the top.
Like you're playing the Phillies or, you know, just like one of the teams that just has nobody, you know.
Right, like the Padres, they have Will Myers and that's just about it. That's the only concern with me. Like if you look at season-long stats for the Braves this year, it just doesn't necessarily totally line up with what they're throwing out there. Another guy that our system is going to like, and today, and this is sort of like the old Pukie territory, though thankfully he's not as cheap as it would, where we, you know, need to really, really, really have the conversation, but it's Clay Buchholz. Buchholz is starting today against the Padres, so he gets the advantage of great park, terrible, terrible opponent. Well, the team is terrible. It's a great opponent for him. He's been sort of shuttling between the bullpen and the starting lineup. Is Buchholz a guy for 6,000 on FanDuel? He's a big favorite. this is really the question. For 6,000 on FanDuel, can you do it?
Yeah, that's the devil's offer, isn't it? Is to go grab Buchholz. I mean, Buchholz was quite good in his last start in a very similar situation at Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. And he's been, it's just so weird. He's been bad in the bullpen too. Like, I don't really know what to make of him other than he just seems completely broken, a shell of a human being. But yeah, I mean, 6,000 is super affordable. There's obviously a Coors game today with a nice healthy line. So if you want to dream big and try to stick Buchholz in there and get a, I mean, all signs point to that Tampa Bay start being the exception rather than the rule.
For sure.
But I mean, the guy put up 9 Ks and 1 earned run in 6 innings. Like, that's upside that you don't normally get for 6,000. So certainly for big tournaments, I think you can look at him. I think you are dancing with the devil if you play him in cash
Yeah, I don't
games.
think I want to do it at all in cash games, but I could see him being a tournament play because he has those other contextual pieces that line up for him. And I don't know, he's probably the best. Well, it's so funny because I don't usually play like the mental game with a guy too often. Like, oh, this guy's broken, blah, blah, blah. It's mental. But man, it sure seems like that with Buchholz. Like, it sure seems like he just has something like that's misfiring with him. I mean, it could be a mechanics thing. Sometimes, like, people equate mental stuff to mechanics things. Like, it's really hard to repeat the same motion over and over. Like, you can't. That's why there's like been like one Greg Maddux and not really anyone else. But
Yeah, I think it can be mental. I think it's, I mean, with Buchholz too, he's just not young anymore, you know. He's 32 years old. Like, he's not a prospect anymore. He's just a guy who has like had injury things and kind of been up and down, but he's just not especially good.
I
Like,
think sometimes
he had like one good year.
I think they
That's just
jammed
what happened.
home injury stuff on him lately, or at times too, to like mask the fact that like they just needed to send like to reset his brain, sort of like, because there's times where just like wasn't totally hurt but got sent out. Anyway, that's a lot of talk on Buchholz. I think you could take a flyer on him for GPPs. I think you actually will see a decent amount of people take flyers for him in on FanDuel because I think there's significant upside, but a ton of risk also as well.
Yep, I'm with that.
Let me rolling down the list. Is there any other pitcher here that stands out to you? Luke Weaver has been okay with his peripherals. Ross Stripling is a big favorite against Arizona and LA. Any of these guys excite you at all?
Stripling does not excite me. I mean, Stripling, I think, is kind of a classic guy that, you know, people I think will overrate his win percentage just because his team is heavily favored to win. Obviously, it's a nice park and getting Arizona out of Arizona is really nice, but Stripling has a lot of games where he just, you know, goes just 5 innings, doesn't make it out of the fifth inning, you know. So while sure, like, it's not, especially on DraftKings where he's wildly cheap and you can get him in that starting pitcher two slot and kind of just close your eyes and wince and, like, you know, do the thing where you peek through the one finger to see what happens.
Right. To see how your
I think
turn in the
he's
river came out. Like,
exactly. Well, yeah. In my old school online poker things where I have my hand up over the card on a computer physically and I'm like, it's red. Oh, that's good. Oh, it's too sharp. It's going to be a diamond. Damn it. Yeah, no, I think, and so he's like a close your eyes and just hope that at the end of the day, even though he stinks, you're like, huh, I got 14 points from Ross Stripling. I guess that's okay. You know, like one of those things. But I think Luke Weaver is actually quite a bit more interesting. I mean, FanDuel again catches up his price a little bit, so it's not like you're getting him on the wildly cheap. But man, those strikeouts, 17 Ks in his last 12 innings at Milwaukee and, you know, Oakland, so good matchups. But yeah, I mean, I'm intrigued for sure.
You know, Pirates are a worse matchup than those two teams. The park helps him a little bit. The Pirates don't K a ton, which is going to hurt him. But the thing with DraftKings, I mean, he's 4,700. And so you're like, if you have a guy that has like almost strikeout per inning peripherals without being too wild, like his peripherals are starting to seem like just kind of a real-ish thing for him, you're just not going to get that kind of safety. Yeah, right. Like, oh, wow, this is even better than I thought. 11 Ks per nine to three walks, 3.12 xFIP. That is about as good a pitcher as, I mean, assuming that you think these are real, because minor league numbers sort of are the same. I don't know. The Ks are up a little more than he was doing in the minors. But that you're never going to see a peripheral guy like this who is not a total dog to just go, you know, 5 or 6 innings at 4,700. And that's the enticing thing about him. Actually, I'm wondering too if our projection on him is a little low because we haven't been able to totally figure out what is real. Like, is it his minor league numbers that are real or his big boost in K expectations? I'll look into that a little later. I could see
Yeah,
him being
I think with
popular.
him, so just to stick out for 1 second, we have him at like 5.5 innings pitched. That might be a little bit low as well. I think we do want to be careful. Like, sometimes guys come up and post big strikeout rates early on, and you think that's going to be the guy forever, but maybe there's just like something a little hitchy or gimmicky in their delivery that other people are able to pick up on. That being said, like, Weaver did have 10 Ks per nine in double A this season, so it's not out of left field for him. He's not going to be an 11K guy probably for his career, but, you know, some really strong seasons in the minors. And, you know, relatively, I mean, he was a college guy and you know, supposedly polished and all that stuff that they say about college guys. So, yeah, I could see him being settling in at an 8 Ks per nine guy. And if he's that, he's a really solid prospect. Truly electric at Double A this season too. So definitely not just like a, you know, just a guy who gets called up in September sort of thing.
I just don't like the matchup is the only problem. But the 4700 is going to be that might end up being a pretty popular cash game play just because you don't really need him to do much at that price. All right, before we get to the hitters. James, was there like a live read you wanted to do?
Yeah, because I'm a broadcast professional. I will now read you an advertisement and make it sound like I'm just saying it off the cuff. So wow. Here we go. Which is sort of off the cuff. That was very well done by me.
Yeah.
So I want to tell you guys about FantasyFactor.com. So FantasyFactor is a new site from guys who, you know, they come from the online poker space, totally legit. They are offering kind of an interesting, you know, they're different in ways that I find interesting compared to the rest of the industry. So the first thing is the way they deliver their bonuses. A lot of people are confused when they first get into DFS, and I think rightfully, about the so-called drip bonus, where they're like, it's a matching $100 bonus, but you got to play for 3 months to ever unlock it.
Oh, if you're lucky.
They do. What's that?
If you're lucky.
Well, I know. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and I get why the sites do that. Like, you know, sites are sticking their necks out there when they offer bonuses that are not exactly like, you know, where you can just sign up and play. Mm-hmm. And that being said, Fantasy Factor is doing just that. You sign up, they'll give you a free $5. You can put right into a contest right away. They also do other interesting things. They have a survivor pool that's for free. They have a robot bounty where you can try to hunt down one of their bots and beat it. So it's pretty interesting stuff. I don't know. They are advertising with DFSR because they like, you know, like what we do and like the way we approach the industry. And they're talking about potentially doing free rolls for DFSR users and all sorts of stuff. But probably the biggest thing about Fantasy Factor that I like is that you are not going to play against other sharks on there. You know, the entry fees are relatively low. You know, it's like a lot of the games are $5.50 entry, $27. They do have some overlay for the contest in week 1 right now too. So head on over, use promo code DFSR, or you can click any banner on the links on our site and get started. But yeah, I'm optimistic. They seem like smart guys, and they understand. They maintain a really low overhead by starting small, and I think that is a great sign for their future in the industry. So, yeah, FantasyFactor.com, promo code DFSR, and we'll see you over there.
You crushed it. Let's get into the hitters today. Some interesting bats going today. I would say that FanDuel has some just total mispricings going on here that we can start to look at, and we can maybe focus a lot of our discussion here on some of the hitters that you're getting, I would just say, on the crazy cheap for like where they are in their situations. Let's start, like, point out to me a couple, like, we talked about this like for 2 seconds offline, but we can just talk about it here as if it's the first time. You know, you mentioned to me, you said, man, it looks like our projected totals for today are really high on FanDuel in terms of like the projected optimal lineups points right now. And we discussed it briefly. Right now we're coming in somewhere like around projected 140. That's incredibly high for a mean, for a weighted mean average. So let's talk about real quick why that's like kind of why that's the case today.
Sure. Well, I think as we dug into it a little further, because the first thing we do when anything seems like an outlier is see if anything's broken. Mm-hmm. It doesn't appear right now that anything seems to be broken. But
that's
really
a big wipes off his brow. Yeah, I just wiped off my brow.
Well, it's an interesting combination of all of the guys with the highest projected points really aren't that expensive. So like the Coors guys are not that expensive, like Arenado for 44, Gonzalez for 38 in a good matchup. Like just not, that's not bad at all. Then you have Harper at 3,700 against Williams Perez, who falls in that stone cold bum territory we've talked about a handful of times here, you know, where the K's in the 4 per 9 area, like, come on,
right.
A batting practice pitcher. But really I think more interesting today are just sort of the confluence of value guys that have come together. So you got Matt Adams, who's been batting third, right, on the Cardinals.
Third or fourth, recently. Yeah, something like that.
And then you got D. Gordon, who's, you know, electric steals guy, bats at the top of the lineup too. 2,400. I mean, it's totally incorrect.
Right.
you probably get Tommy Pham in a similar situation. So I think there's just enough guys who, like, because oftentimes the system will hedge and say, yeah, this guy is terrible. He's essentially a blank. Stick him out there and hope he like walks and scores a run, and then you'll be happy with the performance. But now these are all like legit guys with double-digit projected points for the day, and you know, you just add up enough of those guys and put enough together in the right situation and you have a really, really strong day. So I think it's definitely a mix and match day. I'm not seeing any overwhelming stacks come through the system for cash game purposes, but that can be a good thing for, you know, kind of smoothing out your expected points as well. So
yeah, I think it's not as big of a problem on DraftKings where guys are, I would say, call them properly priced. But man, I just have to reiterate some of these players, like for instance, the way our system is breaking it down already, like Harper, it's got Kluber in an optimal lineup along with Harper, Gonzalez, D. Gordon, Chris Bryant. And like, so those guys at the points for dollar expectation they're getting at their salaries, it's just not going to move, right? Like we started like Xing out some players just to see what would happen. And it basically just kept replacing one player each time. Essentially kept replacing the catcher.
It was like, just keep playing and keep playing.
You know,
keep,
right.
Cheap catcher. Just find some cheap catcher. Doesn't matter. Stick them in there.
When you get
these value guys elsewhere.
When you get these, like, you know, superstarish types, like, you know, Harper, Gonzalez, and Coors, guys like that. I mean, I would even call D. Gordon, like, in that fantasy realm of player, just because he can just get on base and steal. And just when you get these guys on the cheap relative to their upside, I just don't see why you'd ever – it's just not going to get away from these guys, and nor should it. And I – this is the kind of days – these are the kind of days I just love on FanDuel, where I just think there's – I love when there's one or two guys mispriced. Today it's like four or five. And when you can get that plus a high floor pitcher, which I would call Kluber, high floor, especially relative to his 10-8 salary with his terms of his K upside. And the fact that, you know, guys like Kluber and Scherzer, they keep their floors high because their teams will not yank them after 95 pitches, right? Like, it just doesn't happen with these guys. And they can let up four runs and continue into the seventh inning, building on, you know, some strikeouts here and there. And that there's so few pitchers in the league that happens to. And Kluber, Scherzer, and a couple other guys are like this. And there's really not that many others. And so that's why sometimes people be like, they get really start fretting where if Kluber gives up, you know, a first or second inning two-run home run or something like that, and it's just like, you know, everyone starts the Kluber funeral about their lineups. I really try to caution people and say, just wait. Like, he's going to hang around the game. Now, it might not get better for him, but more than most other pitchers, he has the chance. This is all to say, a guy like him plus these other like super high EV bats, this is a day where I would say it's fine to maybe invest a little more based on just the implied safety you're going to get.
Yeah, or at least that would be, I would say, I don't know what they should do, but our plan is probably to do just that, right?
That's my plan for sure.
And so, I mean, and a lot of people look at a guy like D. Gordon in particular and say, well, it's got a sub-300 on base percentage, you know, the steals really haven't been maybe on par with last season and so on, but all that's true, no question about it. I want to caution you against, you know, again, singing at D. Gordon's funeral as well, because for him, the BABIP has really been pretty insane. So guys will look at a player like Gordon and say, well, he doesn't make a ton of hard contact, so maybe the BABIP shouldn't be that high. But when you're that fast, you just don't get out that often when you put the ball in play. Very much like, think Ichiro or, you know, other guys, Billy Hamilton, who just like hit the ball and then run their fastest to first base. And that's oftentimes good enough, especially if it's on the left side of the infield. Yeah, Gordon is not as good as he was last year, but all those numbers, like if his BABIP just is at his career levels, which is 40 points higher than where it is right now, that's way more steal opportunities. That's way more opportunities to score runs, which he's quite good at when he gets on base as well. So D. Gordon is a guy I expect will be 25% more expensive, especially if the Marlins are patient with him in the leadoff spot, which I suspect they will be, because again, he's not really been, nothing is fundamentally different about him than it was last year. In fact, he's walking more. So, I love everything about
the only thing that could throw this off, I would say, and you know, obviously this is 8:45 Eastern on Tuesday, but the thing that could throw this off is if Gordon were to sit against the lefty, which could happen. Like, I'm not positive that they're. I need to look and see how much the Marlins play matchups at the top of their order with lefty stuff with him. They could. I'm not positive, and I don't think they do, but I'll look that up. But if they sat him and like Matt Adams sat, like these two guys are actually kind of keys to this value where. And, you know, the Cardinals kind of mess with their order a little bit also. So I wouldn't say those two guys are set in stone to play. Like, it's not like a Bryce Harper is. I'm not worried about him, right? But there was just these two little question marks around those guys. And when you actually take them out of FanDuel, it does change things a little bit. Now, again, that could ramp back into place why just having some other cheap guy hit at the top of the lineup for their team, and I think you'd come back around. So it's not like totally set in stone. It's a little bit fluid just based on those two question marks, though. If I were to guess, I would say both of them play today.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, D. Gordon is worth noting, not totally platoon neutral, but only 30 OPS points better for his career against right-handed pitching. So definitely not one of those cases where, you know, he's like 300 points different, where a lot of those, you know, the more traditional lineup risk guys are.
Sure.
You know, he did sit a few nights ago against Cleveland, but that was against a righty. So I think by and large, looking at the game log, just what I'm seeing off the top of my mind here is that he'll probably be there no matter what. But yeah, worth keeping an eye on for sure.
Over on DraftKings, I'm not, like we said at the top, I'm not seeing the same amount of value there, though. You know, there are some guys like Curtis Granderson coming a little cheaper. I don't know, David Freese. It still wants you to play guys. Basically, one theme is it just wants you to play Cargo and Harper today, almost without a doubt. And yeah. I tend to agree with it. You know, worked that back down the Harper train again, which I'm fine with. Thankfully, he's been good in the short term, so we don't need to spend too much time making any kind of case for guys that are superstars. Though I'm sure someone will question it. All right, real quick, we have another.
Well, let's talk about the coursing and why it's getting picked up on DraftKings. I think that the interesting thing on DraftKings today, for my money, is the pitcher situation and how that impacts your bats. So the reason it's been telling you to play all those Coors bats is because it thinks you can go double cheap at pitcher with Hamill and Weaver. And that's going to be something that I think a lot of our users are going to feel really cautious about doing. And I don't blame them, I guess. But when you really look at how all those pitchers shake out, like, is Gio, for instance, that much safer on a per dollar basis than Luke Weaver? I mean, Gonzalez is, what, $4,000 more expensive or something? Yeah. More than that, $4,600 more expensive than Luke Weaver. And Weaver has just had better games than Gonzalez straight up before. So, right. And, you know, and then you start, when you play Hamill and Weaver together, now the rest of your bats are Rizzo, Murphy, Anderson, Arenado, Harper, Gonzalez, and David Dahl and Coors as well. So, you know.
Yeah, that's an all-star team.
that's an absolute all-star team. And it's risky. So,
right.
I do think, though, that, you know, unlike – so sometimes our system will say to do that when there is an ace going, and that's going to feel way worse. Today, in the absence of a big ace, and I can't call Kluber an ace on 12-6 on DraftKings. Mm-hmm. It's just not – while he does have that high floor and we love him on FanDuel, I will not be playing him on DraftKings at those prices, although I know that we're going to open ourselves up to one of those nights where if Kluber does go off and say – Luke Weaver gets blown up or Hamill gets blown up or whatever, people are going to say, hey, the system was great on FanDuel, bad on DraftKings. What's wrong with you guys?
Right.
You know? It's like, well, Kluber could be a good play at 12-6, but he's a much better play at 10-8. And that's why people are going to see that difference. So,
and that's where it's that's where it's nice to just get what we always call natural price hedging between the sites, where you can just get pieces at the you know, Kluber's and Hamill's success is mutually exclusive. So it does, like, one doesn't, it does not impact the other in any kind of way. And if you just get one at a better price point here and as opposed to there, that's just a nice way to, I think, put your money in. And I'm all for situations like that.
And I think people really struggle with. This is like another gambling concept I think people misapply all the time, because I think most people hedge and, you know, purposefully give up expectation to lower their variance. And in many cases, they don't even understand what actually lowers their variance. So all they do is give up expectation. Right? Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty big problem. In this case, though, you know, like a hedge, or like think about a middle when you're betting a football game or something. Right. So, you know, you get in on like what's a week one matchup, Saints Raiders at, you know, New Orleans -1, right? You're like, oh, that seems like a good line. And then all of a sudden, everything shifts dramatically. And now it's Oakland +3 or Oakland -3 or something like that. Right?
And a bunch of bookmakers get fired.
Yeah, exactly.
If that happens.
Well, and that does happen, you know, right. I mean, especially around those clustered lines in football. But so then you bet the other side. And then the idea is, well, yeah, you have both the Saints and Oakland, so chances are good if that game is outside of that price range of the Saints win by 1 or Oakland wins by 3, then you break even generally or come something close. But then there's the middle, right? And the middle is where you hit the middle and then you just absolutely go off. Both sides of your bet win and you're rich, you know. And this can also happen, you know, you have the so you take the Patriots at 10-1 to win the Super Bowl at the beginning of the season. Then they make the Super Bowl and all of a sudden – while 10-1 would be a great bet on the Patriots, you just don't really feel like, you know, having that much exposure at that point. So you just bet the Seahawks at, you know, 2-1 or something, or whatever the price winds up being. Mm-hmm. So you get some of your bet back out, you know. this is a very, very easy spot to do that on FanDuel and DraftKings. And it's even better. It's closer to the middle thing, which is a great gambling outcome because, you know, there's a possibility that Kluber is good, pays his FanDuel price, but not great and to pay his DraftKings price. Yep. And then you just win both sides. So while you might not, you know, like the highest upside, if you love Kluber today, is to play him everywhere. But I love playing him on FanDuel and not on DraftKings today.
Yeah, no, I love that concept. That's a concept we've been preaching all season. That's why I love playing more than one site anytime you can, even three or four, because the pricing is different on all these different sites. And so baseball just offers that kind of opportunity to, yeah, arbitrage your way to profit across it.
So now it's time for an interesting segment that I think we're going to infuse into both our baseball and our football content or football podcast going forward. And that's a no halftime challenge, Doug. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
So let me explain what no halftime is before people are like, hey, what's no halftime? No halftime is a really new, exciting fantasy product that's actually totally different than the fantasy products you're used to out there. Instead of building a whole lineup and trying to shuffle salary caps around and do all that stuff, no halftime allows you to create your very own challenge by essentially selecting two players to go head to head against one another. And I should mention too that you can also just go out and accept one of hundreds of available challenges that have already been issued and are just kind of sitting on no halftime right now. So an example of this might be today you could say, Jason Hamill versus Gio Gonzalez, you know, straight up, I think Hamill's going to be better. I think people are going to like Gonzalez better. So I'm going to issue that challenge for $20, say, and see if anyone out there is foolish enough to take it. So this is obviously going to be really exciting for football season two. You know, you go Beckham versus Brown, Cam versus Rodgers, Gurley versus AP. There's tons of great little challenges that give you that additional sweat. And frankly, I think it's an additional hedge too, and really nice. Right now you can use the promo code DFSR25, so DFSR25, and receive 100% bonus up to $25. So, yeah, no halftime is really, really awesome. They like to say they're the fantasy sports season that never takes a break. So you can head on over. I think it's nohalftime.com/DFSR, or just go to nohalftime.com, use promo code DFSR25, and you will get started. So, Doug, let's do a couple no halftime challenges right now. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So no halftime challenge. You like Harper better or Carlos Gonzalez? Straight up. Gonzalez in Coors, Harper against the corpse of Williams Perez. Similar prices on FanDuel. Who are you liking better?
I'll take Harper there, and I think actually that's something you could get a challenge accepted for you if you posted that, because people will take cargo in Coors, and I think that just Harper just on played out a bunch of different times. Harper has the better game, so I'll take Harper in that one.
Nice. Okay. How about let's go. And that's a decision you'll make some of the time on FanDuel today, although you can probably just play both, but I could definitely see people making that call. All right, how about – so this is going to be an interesting value one. So how about Matt Adams, mm-hmm. Okay? Matt Adams, if he plays, if he starts third, or a bigger name like Adrian Gonzalez, close one.
I would take Adams. And actually, one point I want to make about no halftime, which is nice, I'm like 90% sure this is the case, that if a guy doesn't play – the challenge is voided. So you can accept challenges like this early in the day. And if Adams were not to be in the lineup tonight, you wouldn't have to worry about taking a zero on him. So
yeah, we should mention, by the way, we play on no halftime because the games are so great because it's not like you have to be like, hey, I'm going to go play against Chipotle Addict today. It's like,
right.
No, someone made an offer and DFSR's projection has this guy for 3 points more, so I'm just like probably going to win here.
Yeah, and this is just a great use of the projection system too, because you just type in A versus B. Oh, it's better. Oh, it's significantly better. Okay, this is an easy. I'll easily take this one. Okay, so I'll take Adams as that part of it, and I'm not too worried about the batting lineup piece because if he does play, he's hitting near the top of the lineup, and if he doesn't, I get the challenge voided, and I no skin off my back.
Yeah, I like that. All right, let's do one more. We'll do a pitcher. By the way, another awesome no halftime strategy is just to go there and take like any bad pitcher against, some good hitter, because pitchers tend to outscore hitters. But people are like, I've never heard of Luke Weaver. I'll take Mike Trout over him.
Right.
So that's a great one. But anyway, let's go a little bit further down board here. Let's go Jason Hamill versus Gio Gonzalez, just like I mentioned. So they're the exact same price on FanDuel. So this is a decision people will make on FanDuel today. Who do you like better straight up if you had to stick one guy in your lineup?
I'll take Hamill because I'm a little this one's close. This one I probably wouldn't accept. It might be, our system seems to think Gonzalez is about 10% better. So I'll just go with our system here. 10% better on Gonzalez, though. That one didn't feel as good because I think I was tempted to say Hamill to start, but it might be that Gio's win expectation and strikeouts maybe win the day for him there. So I'll go Gio, though. That one might be one that I think a little harder about than the other two.
Yeah, fair enough. And I think this is a good exercise, by the way. You know, a lot of people ask us in the chat, this guy or that guy. Mm-hmm. But I think if you go this guy or that guy, I mean, if you use our system, you'll know exactly what our math's opinion is of different guys.
Right.
But I think that is a helpful way to build your lineups. Don't just go with your gut. Trust the projections. Trust our lineup optimizer, which you can get a free 1 week trial of by going to dfsr.com/lab. And hope to see you on No Halftime sometime soon.
All right, that's it for us today. DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short, /LAB, lab. You grab a free trial up through the first week of football season, which starts really this Thursday, but really in earnest on Sunday.
And you get our baseball projections too for that.
So all under one umbrella, which is a lot different than a lot of other sites that section it off by sport, by site. We don't do that. We have it. It's yours. It's all part of that pro package over there, free through Sunday, $29.95 a month after that. Buddy, we're going to go off and do an NFL podcast here for all you baseball listeners. We'll be back again tomorrow. Good luck for Tuesday.
Literally cannot wait.